Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's political podcast. I'm Lara Prendergast and I'm joined by Kate Andrews from the IEA and Katie Balls. So, Russian officials have reacted with outrage and the markets have slumped following the announcement of tough new US sanctions against Russia. So, Kate, what do these sanctions involve?
The new sanctions are going to be coming in at the end of August, and they're going to target exports as it relates to sensitive electronic components and other kinds of technologies. So that's going to be quite painful. These aren't the first new set of sanctions that the U.S. has brought in on Russia, though. Back in June, they brought in sanctions to retaliate for any kind of meddling in America's elections. And of course, when the Skripals were attacked here in the United Kingdom, the U.S. also expelled Russian diplomats. So the U.S. and the U.K. have very much been on side with one another during this process. The U.S. is the one targeting Russia specifically. It's interesting in the States because I think one of the biggest problems we have around all conversations involving Russia is this pending investigation into whether or not the president colluded with Russia during the election. And for a lot of voters, not just voters, just American citizens and listeners, whenever they hear the words Russia and Trump, they immediately tune out because they just see it as a fundamentally political, partisan issue. But of course, issues with Russia are not just partisan. They're becoming very important to all of us, and it's an important story, but a lot of people just will be tuning out of this altogether.
And Katie, what's the British reaction mean? Have any politicians commented on this yet?
I think the British government are very happy about this. They have long wanted, you know, after the Novichok reports first emerged, they wanted a strong show from the community, from their allies, to show that they were behind them, and also to prove in a way that just because we are leaving the European Union didn't mean we were out of friends, which lots of people have tried to push the idea of. So the fact that America now doing even more sanctions is interesting, because Jeremy Hunt, the new foreign secretary, has taken to Twitter today to basically say, to thank the USA for standing firm with the UK on this, and say that you have to take measures like this if you want to stop chemical and biological weapons becoming a norm in the 21st century. I mean, now we just have a real Twitter bromance, because then the US ambassador to the UK, Willie Johnson, quickly quote tweeted Jeremy Hunt, because this is how we do diplomacy now, and said, you know, tweets. Oh yes, we do this because we have a special relationship. So, I mean, I think in general, it just does show that, and we do get the impression in some ways that Trump is more pro-Russia than, you know, lots of the people around him. But when it push comes to shove, he can talk about, you know, inviting Putin over to the White House and he can meet them. But ultimately, the sanctions, I think, you know, the actions speak louder than words really here. And that tells you everything you need to know about the state of play between the different countries.
Elsewhere, the outrage over Boris Johnson's comments about burqas hasn't yet subsided. Katie, what's the latest?
So I think we're now into day four. I think Boris Johnson actually, yesterday he was on the front of 7 papers. Today he's only managed 6. So it could be dying down, but we'll see. On the front of the Telegraph, we have the latest development, perhaps within the Conservative Party, which is Ruth Davidson, the Scottish Conservatives leader, coming out against Boris Johnson. And she says his comments were inappropriate, and also makes the point that burqas are no different to wearing a crucifix. So she doesn't think that you should make fun of religious wear like this. But it's also interesting because everything at the moment now seems to be seen in a kind of, this is almost seen in some quarters at least as a proxy war. So is this all about just bashing Boris? I mean, I think there's obviously a reason his comments have got the response they have, but just within the Conservatives, so it's not to say that people are, you know, exaggerating responses, but I do think Ruth Davidson coming out against Boris Johnson when they're known to have such a fierce rivalry will be something that the Boris camp just kind of say as well. You would expect that, wouldn't you?
I mean, Kate, do you agree? Do you think the burqa is like a crucifix?
I'm not sure it's a fair direct comparison. There have been questions about whether or not the burqa really is a part of Islam in the way that some like to claim. But I think what's just baffling about this story is that people are suggesting that, you know, Boris said that it should be banned. He didn't. It was a liberal defense of something he personally doesn't like. And what I find crazy is that we have decided that our threshold for tolerance is now only agreeing to things. You have to like something, you have to praise it in order for your language to be acceptable. True liberalism is about tolerance, real tolerance. It's about accepting that you might not like something, you might even loathe something, but you think other other people should have the right to do it. Did Boris use colorful language? Yes. As an MP, is it smart to offend people? Probably not. But as people, of course, we're allowed to offend. I have a tweet here from the Press Association from, I think it looks like yesterday. Oh, no, sorry. It's actually from today. Breaking Boris Johnson's comments would not reach the bar for a criminal offense, says the Metropolitan Police Commissioner. This has been reported as if this is something you should be potentially able to go to prison for. I mean, this is not the way that public discourse should be occurring.
I think what's also interesting is over the past few days, as we talked about all the different angles to this, there was a question of whether there would be a disconnect between how Johnson's comments go down in Westminster and maybe on social media and how they go down across Britain. And I think there's a poll today which found that the majority of voters don't think what he said was racist. So, and that's not to say they think it was appropriate and so forth, but I do think it means that actually the other polls have suggested that the majority of Brits would like to see the burqa banned. So if you got to, you know, look at his context in a look at his comments in a wider context, I don't think it's going to get such a backlash across the country as some people think it will.
And I also, it could have the reverse effect in the sense that when you overstep the mark and you attack someone too much, you can actually do them the service of making them defensible for the rest of the public. And you can say that what he said was offensive, and we can debate whether or not, you know, you should be allowed to offend. I think you should. But to go so far as to call it racist, that rubs people up the wrong way because they know that that's really an abuse of that term.
Finally, the Tory MP Dominic Grieve has said he's going to leave the party if Boris becomes leader, which has obviously reignited talk once again of a new centrist party. Katie, do you think there's any likelihood of that happening?
I mean, I think we always talk about it and it just never happens. And to the point that when you see someone's written a new piece on centrist party, you do have an urge to turn the page, no matter who it is, just because it doesn't seem to come to anything. But it does feel like some things are changing. So we know that the Labour MPs are more, you know, fed up than they've ever been. And this time it's not about Europe or I think there are some issues that you can see how you could be in the same group and disagree on a bit. I think you can be in the party and disagree on Europe. I know that's slightly less fashionable now, people like Kate Hoey, but that is possible, as is disagreeing on some things about, you know, fiscal policy. But the idea of disagreeing about what is classed as racism or, you know, anti-Semitism to me doesn't seem like it seems a bit harder to stay in the group of. But the question is, if you had a group of Labour MPs decide that they'd had enough of Corbyn and quit, would they be able to join a party with some Tory MPs who are fed up their own party? Because Dominic Grieve has said if Boris Johnson ever becomes Prime Minister, he won't stay in the party. Anna Soubry was quite quick to echo these comments, and it's something I've heard privately too from other people, that if it was a, you know, an ultra Brexiteer, they wouldn't be able to stick around. Now, it might be all talk, but you do wonder, if you start to get around 30, 40 kind of politically homeless MPs, that does suggest there could be some kind of new group forming.
Okay, yesterday Ross Clark did a blog for Coffee House in which he said that what we don't need is a centrist party, what we actually need is what he called a non-woke conservative party. I mean, do you think there's more appetite for that sort of party?
It's hard to know which party at the moment really stands for classically liberal values. Katie's going to know a lot more than I will about the possibility of a centrist party forming. But even if it did, I can't see it being all that successful. I don't think people are craving centrism. Is that an ism? Is centrism an ism?
You need to make it one.
All right, well, it is today. I don't think that's what people are craving. People like strong ideas. They like bold ideas. But what we're missing right now is that genuine free market, classical liberal, individualist approach to the world. And I actually think the Boris thing plays into this idea that you can say what you like and you can have an opinion. People like opinions. They like strength. So I'm not sure that being a centrist is actually what's going to sway votes your way. I think you have to have a point of view.
Yeah, I think a lot of conservatives, if they were going to look for a new party, feel like they would want a party that was conservative.
Thank you, Kate, and thank you, Katie. And just a reminder that this podcast is called Coffee House Shots. If you like it, please do let us know on the iTunes store. And if you'd like to hear more from Ruth Davidson, she will be speaking in conversation with Andrew Neil on the 24th of September. You can get a free ticket to this event if you subscribe to The Spectator. Just go to spectator.co.uk/Davidson. Thanks for listening.